Paul here with today's tip to help you pass ACLS. Being the team leader while running a code is challenging. There are lots of tasks that need to be done during a cardiac arrest, and it's the team leader's role to ensure that key tasks are being performed. The algorithm approach to BLS and ACLS make things easier with regard to standardized decision-making and priority of events, and is today's PASS ACLS tip topic. Everybody should know that the first thing we do when identifying an unconscious patient is to check for responsiveness by tapping their shoulder and asking, "Are you okay?" or something along those lines. If the patient doesn't respond, we should call for assistance, open the airway and look, listen, and feel for breathing while simultaneously checking for a carotid pulse for 5 to 10 seconds. At this point, we have made an assessment, breathing and pulse, and can use the algorithm to guide our next actions using if-then methodology. For example, if the patient is breathing and has a pulse, then we control the airway and perform a secondary assessment to identify the cause of unconsciousness. If the patient isn't breathing but has a pulse, then we begin rescue breathing and deliver one breath every 6 seconds. If the patient has no breathing, or only agonal gasping respirations, and no pulse, then we either go get the AED if we're alone, or start CPR while we wait for the AED or monitor defibrillator to arrive because earlier we called for help. Most of the algorithms are pretty straightforward in this way. I believe that every medical professional should be well-versed in BLS skills without the use of a reference. For ACLS's more complex algorithms, we have reference cards to assist us if needed. It's a good practice to keep copy of ACLS algorithms in your AED kit or on your crash cart so they can be referenced during a code. The beginning of the adult cardiac arrest algorithm is pretty clear because it's BLS. Deliver good CPR until the AED or monitor defibrillator shows up with help. We should assess the patient's rhythm and safely deliver a shock as soon as possible if the patient is in V-fib or V-tach. In the case of an AED, the machine will determine if a rhythm is shockable or not. From there, if you're using an AED, then follow its verbal prompts regarding CPR, pulse checks, and defibs. The AED will run in 2-minute cycles. This point is our first ACLS decision. If a shock was not indicated and delivered, the patient is likely in PEA or asystole, so we will go down the right side of the adult cardiac arrest algorithm and administer 1 mg of epi while performing good CPR. 1 mg of epi is given every 3 to 5 minutes. So, with 2-minute cycles of CPR, we will give another epi after each 2 cycles of CPR, or approximately every 4 minutes. While CPR is in progress, we will consider reversible causes, H's and T's, and placing an advanced airway, such as an endotracheal tube, laryngeal mask airway, or esophageal tube airway. If the patient is in a shockable rhythm, then we deliver a shock at the manufacturer's energy setting if using a biphasic defibrillator, or 360 joules for monophasic defibrillators after confirming everyone is clear of the patient to ensure the safety of the team. We will then work down the left side of the adult cardiac arrest algorithm. High-quality CPR should be immediately resumed for an additional 2 minutes or 5 cycles. During this time is an opportunity to review the patient's history, establish an IV if one isn't already in place, insertion of a basic or advanced airway, hook up and tidal waveform capnography, and begin thinking of reversible H&T causes of cardiac arrest. We will do good CPR for 2 minutes before reassessing the rhythm, and if V-fib or pulseless V-tach persists, safely deliver our second shock. After the second shock, we will start a simple cycle of high-quality CPR with minimal interruptions of 10 seconds or less to maintain a chest compression fraction greater than 80%, administer 1 mg of epinephrine IV push, reassess and shock as needed, immediately resume CPR, administration of an antiarrhythmic, amiodarone or lidocaine, reassess and shock as needed, immediately resume CPR, and administer another 1 mg of epi. Basically, we alternate between epi and antiarrhythmic after each shock given in 2-minute intervals, with high-quality uninterrupted CPR being performed except to safely deliver a shock. One exception to this flow for patients in persistent VFib or pulseless VTach would be if the team leader decides to use lidocaine rather than amiodarone. Remember that amiodarone is given every 3 to 5 minutes for refractory VFib or pulseless VTach, so it fits well within this cycle, whereas lidocaine is given every 5 to 10 minutes. If using lidocaine, then we will skip every other antiarrhythmic medication administration until lidocaine is maxed out at 3 mg per kilogram and we move on to amiodarone. We will continue this cycle until we achieve ROSC, we attempt other interventions to address potential reversible causes, or the patient goes into PEA or asystole where a shock and antiarrhythmics aren't indicated. This can be confusing at first, but is an easy cycle to remember once you get going. Doing all of this is a lot easier, too, if the team leader enlists the assistance of their team. For example, the CPR coach or code scribe can call out 2-minute intervals once an advanced airway is placed, and we're no longer doing CPR cycles. The person administering medications can ask the team leader if they'd like them to prepare the next anticipated medication if nothing was ordered. If at any time you become lost or don't know what to do, you can't go wrong by ensuring good CPR is done and asking input from your team. Everyone that participates in a code is important. Don't fret if you're still a bit confused. You'll get practice as a team leader and team member during your class. After experiencing the flow of a well-run code a few times, things will be clearer. Today's tip is a bit longer than usual, but I hope that you found it useful. If so, be sure to subscribe or follow now so you don't miss upcoming episodes covering additional ACLS topics. Listening to a tip a day for a few weeks before your class will help you to remember the key points needed to pass the written exam and MegaCode. I'm here to help you pass ACLS. Thanks for listening, and good luck with your class.